Take your Bibles with me. Turn to 2 Timothy this morning. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. A lot of people, a lot of pastors today might be preaching about Hannah and the godly example that she was, and that's a great message to be preached. Others might be talking about the widow who cared for her son and cared for the prophet Elijah, and different mothers. Some may be preaching on the earthly mother of Jesus Christ, on Mary this morning, and that's all wonderful examples of godly women that were used by God to accomplish what God wanted them to accomplish, and to be a godly testimony and example to their families. But I wanted to focus on two ladies this morning in the Scriptures that really don't get a whole lot of attention. And they really should, because of the impact that they made on the life of their one son and one grandson. And so we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter number 1 this morning, verse number 1. This is Paul writing this letter to Timothy, who he considered a son in the faith, and he mentored and was a fatherly figure to Timothy, and was very instrumental in helping Timothy to become the minister that God wanted him to be. And so Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, and he says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy." So Paul introduces this letter, of course, who it's from and who it's to. We've already established that. But he starts off with a simple greeting: grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And then he says with pure conscience, without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. So Paul tells Timothy, Timothy, you're always, in my thoughts, in my prayers, I'm always thinking about you, and I'm concerned for you. I'm concerned for your spiritual well-being. I want to make sure that you're doing all right. When God gives us somebody in our life to make an impact on or make a difference, and we ought to make sure that we are there for that person, that we are available to them, that we're praying for them. And I think it's all well and good for us as believers, especially those that have known the Lord for a number of years, to be a mentor, to take younger Christians under our wing and say, "Hey, listen, this is what the Bible says, this is what the Bible teaches, and this is how, I've been able to live my life." And it's well and good for us to take people underneath our wings, so to speak, and help them to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So he tells Timothy, I'm greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. And not that he's saying, I'm joyful when you're sad, Timothy, but he's saying, what a joy it's going to be when I can be there with you, and I can blessing and a help to you, and I can see that the progress that you've made in the Lord, and see how you've grown into and developed into the man that God wants you to be. Then he says in verse number 5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee," says, "which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." He says, Timothy, I'm thankful for the real, genuine faith that you exhibit in your life. That's what that word unfeigned means there. It means real. It means not fake, not tarnished. There's a genuineness to it. And first and foremost, we ought to make sure that our faith, that our walk with God is real. You can come to church sometimes and you can put on a smile and you can act a certain way when you're around God's people. But a lot of people do that. I mean, a lot of people can appear to be religious In fact, Jesus spoke out against the Pharisees on multiple occasions because they had the appearance of righteousness, but they didn't have any of the power of God within their lives. Okay? Because, you know, you can fill the offering plate with your money, but if your heart's not in it, it's meaningless. It's valueless. You can, be involved in ministry at church. You can be involved in the children's ministry, in the nursery ministry, in the music. You can be an usher, a deacon. You can even be a pastor. And if your heart is not in it, if there's not a realness to it, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your energy. Okay, God doesn't want anything phony. God doesn't want a bunch of fakes. God wants people to be real. And I'll tell you, it's not just Christians that can spot the real and the fake. It's people out there in the world as well. See, they can tell if what you've got in your life, if the Jesus Christ that you claim to have in your heart is real, if it is genuine. I think a lot of people are turned off to church today because of the fakes that they see. In fact, last night at the wedding, the minister, it was really interesting. He was part of the youth and college ministry there at College Station, working at a church there, and had been involved in the lives of my sister and now my brother-in-law. And he got up, and one of the very first things he said, he says, "Hey, Evan and Haley wanted me to talk about something that's very important to them, and that's their relationship with Jesus Christ." And he spent about 10 minutes, the first part of the wedding, talking about how Evan came to know the Lord and how my sister Haley came to know the Lord, and that they wanted it to be clear that they were founding their relationship on Jesus Christ. And the love that they had for each other could only come from God. And one of the things that he said, and it stuck with me, is that he said, a lot of you here might be, anti-religious because of all the hypocrisy that you see in Christianity today. And he says, I want to apologize for that. I want to say sorry for that, because we're not talking about a fake kind of faith here today. We're not talking about a fake kind of love. We're talking about something real and genuine that Jesus Christ has to offer you today. And it's sad. You see a lot of counterfeits that are out there. Don't believe me? Try watching cable TV and flipping through the channels at about 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, and sure enough, you'll find some preachers on there that are selling their gospel. And by that, they're not telling people that there's a God in heaven who loved the whole world, that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for them so that way they could have salvation, they could be forgiven of their sins, and they could be saved. But what they're trying to sell you is if you'll just buy, this prayer handkerchief, if you'll just buy this little vial of well spring water from Jerusalem, God is going to bless you, and God's going to provide for you, and God's going to multiply your bank account, and God's going to bless you with a new house, and God's just going to cause your bank account to burst at the seam. And I never saw anywhere in the Bible where it says that if you become a child of God, God is going to bless your bank account, and that you're going to have so much money pouring out that you can't even get enough accounts to contain all the money that God blesses you with. I've never once seen that in Scripture. Now, what I have seen is that God promises that the righteous will never be forsaken and that his seed will never be seen begging for bread. God also promised that he would supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. There's a big difference between the word want and the word needs. And I'm glad that God in his infinite wisdom put that word need instead of want. Because there's a lot of things that I want. Man, it would have been really nice to, instead of having to drive across Texas, to have a private jet that I could just hop in and, it's fueled and ready to go whenever I need it. I got a personal pilot, on retainer. I could just hop in a jet and just fly wherever I want, whenever I want. But God hasn't blessed me financially to that point. Okay? I was driving a minivan, a 10-year-old minivan across the state of Texas. A minivan that has melted wax on the carpet. And if you're a parent, you know exactly where it came from. okay? Old crayons that they left on the floor, and now they're melted into the carpet. They ain't going anywhere. You wouldn't believe what we cleaned out the van just before we left. You wouldn't believe the amount of goldfish, whole goldfish, that I found in the van. I mean, you could have filled up one of those like Sam's industrial sized boxes with all the goldfish that I found in that van. And my daughter, Annie, she's one of the most wonderful, she is the most wonderful 4-year-old I know right now, and maybe I'm a little biased, but she's mine, so I don't care what you say. But that little container that you have in the back, you know, to put something there for a little while, and the cup holders there in the back of the van, she decided that that's her personal goldfish aquarium. And so she had the entire thing filled up to the brim with goldfish. And, you know, it's crazy, you know, to see that. But you know, I'm not driving a brand new Cadillac Escalade, you know, with the kids sitting in nice leather heated seats and, you know, surround sound Bose system while we're, you know, driving and they can watch TV. You know, we don't have all that. But you know what? I'm satisfied with what God has given me. He has taken care of me. He has blessed me. So we don't need some prosperity gospel. We don't need some fake preacher telling us, all these half-truths in scriptures. We need to be people. We need to be men and women of God that are real. You know, I know we live in a more cashless society than we ever have. And, you know, now you can just pull out a little piece of plastic and swipe it, and then it, you know, starts beeping on the screen saying insert chip. And then I hate that. Don't you hate that? Or you go to put the chip in and then they say, oh, our chip reader's not working. Then why do you have it? If it doesn't work, why have it? Why give me a false sense of hope that this transaction is going to go quickly only to have my hopes dashed because now I have to pull that dumb thing out and then I have to swipe it? Like, put something, put a piece of tape there, you know, put a sticker, doesn't operate. Like, come on, help me out here. And of all places, Chick-fil-A's the worst. I'm like, if anybody knew how to do customer service right, it should be you. I'm disappointed, Chick-fil-A. Okay? But, you know, being in a cashless society, you know, we really don't deal a whole lot with the actual bills. But years ago, the story was is that whenever they were training bank tellers to be able to spot a counterfeit, you know how they would train their tellers and their cashiers to be able to spot the real from the fake? What they would do is they would give them a large stack of real bills that they would count every single day. Okay? So as you're counting those bills, and I'll tell you know, money has a nice feel to it. It does. I mean, I don't know what it feels like anymore because I don't see a lot of it. But, you know, it usually has a nice feel to it, a nice texture, okay? And you know, these tellers would sit there counting the money, and they would get used to the feel of it. And after several days of counting real bills, their trainers would insert one fake into a large stack of bills. So as they're sitting there counting it, they're feeling it. They know what the genuine feel of real genuine money feels like. And then when they spot a counterfeit, hey, that doesn't feel right. That doesn't feel like the others that were in that stack. This is fake. And I'll tell you, when people come in contact with a real Christian, they're going to know. And you know what? When they come in contact with a counterfeit, with a phony, with a fake, they're going to be able to tell that too. See, we need to be people of faith. We need to be people of genuineness. And that's what Paul was saying about Timothy. He says, Timothy, you have this genuine faith about you. You have this realness about you that everybody can see. Everybody knows that you're a child of God. Everybody can tell that you are a Christian. That you actually back up what you say. But where did Timothy get this faith from? How did he come to know the Lord? Well, it says here in verse number 5, he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice. So two women that are listed here, Timothy's mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. You know who's not mentioned here? Timothy's father, which I can only reasonably assume the reason Timothy's father is not mentioned is because, one, either he knew the Lord and wasn't the kind of father and wasn't the kind of Christian he should have been, even though he was saved, or Timothy's dad was not a Christian at all. And he wasn't a godly example to Timothy. And Timothy wasn't able to see what it was like to be a real man of God, to be a real child of God from his father, because daddy wasn't there. You know, it breaks my heart to think that there are mothers all over this country today that are wearing two hats. They're trying to be mom and dad, because dad's not in the picture anymore. Now, I teach at Mountain View High School, and a lot of single moms there. A lot. Some students that I have that don't even live with mom and dad. Mom and dad are gone. They're living with grandma and grandpa or aunts and uncles, or some kids just living on their own. You know, and it breaks my heart to see that, you know, they don't have that, you know, that oh, I know it sounds kind of weird when I say it, but that Brady Bunch home, you know what I mean? You know, you come home, and I'm not saying that Alice is in the kitchen cooking something, but, you know, mom and dad are there, and whenever you need something, you know, I loved watching the Brady Bunch when I was a kid, because, you know, mom and dad Brady always had the answers for everything. You know, Marsha, it's okay, Jan, you know, you're kind of the middle child, and nobody loves you, but, you know, but it's okay, it's not going to get any better, but it's okay. Okay, you'll make it through somehow. But, you know, we don't see that whole family unit anymore. It's rare. It really is rare. You know, they did a study on motherhood and fatherhood, and they said just 40 years ago, 75% of American homes had a mother and father in the home. 75%. That means only one out of every four families didn't have either mom or dad or both. Okay? We had whole families. They did a study of just about 5 years ago. And man, how the numbers have flip-flopped. They're saying 70% of American homes today are missing either mom or dad. Yes, we need good godly men and good godly fathers, but moms, the importance of a mother cannot be undervalued or underappreciated. I love my father, I do. And I went to him often on different subjects and asked him for his counsel and advice. You know, and dad could give me the facts. Dad could tell me straight up, here you go, son. This is how it is. But when it came to issues of the heart, you know who I went to? Mama. Because mom didn't just think with her head. Mom thought with her heart too. And see, you needed that. You know, my mom, even to this day, she still gives me wise counsel, advice. My wife the same. You know, did you think about what you said? Did you think about how that person took it? You know, and I'm thankful my wife, she'll even listen to some of the things that I say in preaching, and she'll be like, did you think about what you said before you said it? Did you really think that whole point through? And because some people might not take it the way that you meant it to be taken. And you know, me, I'm just like, whatever, you know, I said it, here it goes. And, you know, that's the facts. But, you know, we can't just all be about, you know, this is the way it's done. We have to think about how we, you know, are presented and how our actions appear to other people and what, not just what we say, but how we say it and how other people take it. My mom gave me advice on girls, which was very much appreciated since she was one. You know, she had an insider's view, and that helped out a lot in my relationship with my wife. But even as a pastor, still things that I don't think about that my mom, You know, not that my mom runs the church through me. That's don't misunderstand what I'm saying. See, this whole thing about, you know, thinking through what I say. But my mom has given me so much godly wisdom and godly counsel and godly advice. And she, it's a blessing and an asset to have her in our congregation and a part of our church. And that's how Timothy came to his faith. See, Daddy didn't tell him how to be a man of God. Eunice, Mom did. And Grandma did. You see, there was a legacy of real faith that was passed down through the ladies in Timothy's life. Mom, you might feel like you're going at it on your own sometimes. And I'm sure it's rough. You know, husbands, dad's working hard trying to provide for the family, and maybe he's not always around as much as he'd like to be. And sometimes you have to be, you know, soccer mom and baseball dad, and, you know, you have to do a lot of things that aren't typically expected to do. But let me tell you, more importantly than being soccer mom or, you know, changing kids' diapers, you have an opportunity to impact your child's eternal future. You have an opportunity to show your child a godly example of not just what a mother should be or what a woman should be, but a godly example of what a person should be. And who knows how God can use your example to reach your children. Maybe those little eyes that look up to you and look up at you, even when you're changing them, those little eyes are looking, they're analyzing, they're seeing everything that's going on. And they can tell when mom is mad, they can tell when mom is happy, because they're usually the ones that are either making mom mad or making mom happy. But those little children, those little eyes, those little brains are recording everything. And they're going to remember everything that you say and remember everything that you do. And when they see genuineness, when they see real love coming from you in their lives, it's going to impact them. You know, it's like you're a funnel for God's love into them. You know, God just kind of overwhelms us with His love sometimes. He just kind of just pours it out on us. But mothers are like the funnel that kind of take God's love and channel it down into their children. And I'll tell you, the example that you set for your children may be the only godly example that they will ever see. Moms, make sure it's a good one. Make sure that they're seeing something that's genuine. Make sure that they're seeing something that's real. Maybe you're not a mother yet, but I mean, this advice is not just for mothers. This is for any lady. This is for any man. Make sure that the eyes that are watching you are seeing something that's real. Seeing something that is not fake, that's not hypocritical, but that's genuine, that there's trueness and sureness behind it. He says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You know what God, or what Paul was telling Timothy is, keep it real. That's what he was saying. If you want to put it into our modern day terminology, Paul was telling Timothy to keep it real. And keep it real just like mom did. And keep it real just like grandma did. Okay? And how do we stay genuine? In the midst of a world of wickedness and sinfulness, how do we stay real? How do we keep away from becoming fake and becoming a hypocrite? Paul tells us right here, he says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. We don't have to be afraid of the spiritual darkness that we see in this world. He says, God has given us power, love, and a sound mind. You know how we keep it real? We stay connected to the 100% real and genuine God. Maybe you didn't have a godly mother. Maybe you didn't have a typical home. Maybe, you know, back a Leave It to Beaver home or a Brady Bunch home. Maybe your childhood was rough. Maybe your childhood was full of sorrow. And maybe you didn't see mom and dad at their best. But determine today that it doesn't matter where you came from. Starting today, it's going to be different in your home. Maybe you haven't been the godly mother, the godly father, the godly Christian that you should be. But you can start today. God, I'm going to be what I'm supposed to be for my children now. God, I might not have children, but I still am going to be real. I still am going to be genuine because that's what you want me to be. And God, I can't do this alone. God, I'm going to need your strength. God, I'm going to need your power. God, I'm going to need your love. And how am I going to keep a sound mind? By staying connected to God. It says the Philippians chapter 2 tells us that the more that we stay connected to the Lord, the more that we start to read His Word, the Bible says the more that we start to become more like Him, the more we develop the mind of Christ. That's what God wants us to do this morning, to be real, and to be real by staying connected in a real relationship with Him today. So if you had to look at the kind of the fruit of your life, if you would you say that the fruit that you're producing in your life is real, it's valuable, it's genuine, it tastes good, that you're a godly example and a godly testimony to everybody that you see? Or maybe, like me, that there's some areas in your life that you need to work on. Maybe this morning would be a good opportunity for you to stop and to bow your head before God and say, God, highlight those things in my life that aren't what they should be and help me to get them right. And I'm not going to wait till a better opportunity. I'm going to start getting things right with God today. There's no better time than the present. Oh, well, you know what? I'll just start being a godly mother when God gives me kids. No, no, no. Be the godly woman that God wants you to be. Be the godly man that God wants you to be. And remember, you're not doing it in your own strength. You have God's power, God's love to help you to become the person that God wants you to be. Be real, be genuine, and make an impact and a difference in your family, but also in your world.